Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. We always appreciate when you participate in the program, whether you're listening, calling in, emailing, just being with us. Thank you for that. Another thing, Holly, we talked about earlier in the previous segment about watering, keeping your containers watered, and you can use the tree diaper for that, whether you're in containers, in the ground, in the house, or anywhere in between. The tree diaper has it made for you.
Yeah, tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The tree diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No more overwatering or underwatering with the tree diaper. Every time it rains, tree diaper recharges, no pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA. You can see all the sizes and options they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
And I stepped out in the garden the other day, and the tree diapers, which can be left outside all winter long, they were fully hydrated, and they were ready to do their next job this growing season. But fully hydrated, they weren't damaged at all. Everything was fine with them, so they are ready to go. Well, you might be ready to go to plant some things, but this next segment is our opinion. You see these news programs, opinionated, you know, opinion this, opinion that. That's strictly what this segment is for. We're going to tell you things, why you shouldn't grow certain things. And if you decide to grow all of them, that's fine. We're just telling you why we have chosen not to grow these certain items.
We got a lot of problems with these people.
Well, I don't have a lot of problems with our listeners. I got a lot of problems with the people who are not listening. That's who I have the problem with.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell your friends to tune in to the program.
So this is our opinion. So
yes.
You can, and if you have a strong feeling about this, I mean, you can certainly give us a call or send us an email. And
GardenTalkRadio@gmail.com. 1-800-927-SHOW, and let us know what you think, if you think we're out of line or right in line.
This one I have opinions about.
All right, go
onions.
Ahead.
Now, we enjoy growing onions. They're fun to grow, and we've had a phenomenal crop, I don't know, a few years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get, you know, full sun in the raised beds, nice loose, loamy soil.
Big bulbed
onions.
Yep.
But sometimes starting them is a bear.
Well, that's true. And whether you've started them right now, you're looking at them, or you're going, I got them in the greenhouse or in the grow light, that's fine. The reason why this is on our list is simply because onions, for us, they take 90 to 120 days. And unless you're growing like hundreds and hundreds of square feet, in our opinion, it doesn't really work in the favor of value when you can go to the farmer's market, or you can go to your organic garden store, grocery store, or big box store and get 5 or 10 pounds for a couple of dollars. It's one of those things, and this is going to be a repeating phrase on this segment, is I can't grow it that cheap.
Right. And that is, you know, the point we have reached. And sometimes you just can't grow it that cheap. So that brings us to potatoes, which is another excellent point. And I just, I know that you can grow specific types of potatoes that you may like, whether they be like the purple ones or
fingerlings or,
yeah, you know, fingerlings. And those can be costly, mm-hmm, you know, organically or whatever, at the organic food store or the organic section of your grocery store. But at the farmer's market, they are reasonable.
And we can't grow – I mean, we can put potatoes in the ground and we can harvest potatoes. But we can't get that yield that some of you are able to do. You put one potato in the ground, you get 7 coming back. We usually get one return or 2 for every one we put in the ground. Now, at your sister's –
yeah, my sister's house,
it was decent.
Had, yeah, pretty good harvest.
But it's not, you know, you look on these YouTube videos of legitimate – true gardeners, you know, they're not gimmicky or anything, and they're getting, you know, 3, 5, 10 pounds in return type of thing. So again, you can buy pretty cheap the potatoes if you know where to go and they're not poisoned and all that sprayed with stuff, the growth inhibitors. And then the next two, broccoli and cauliflower.
You have to enjoy broccoli and cauliflower.
Well, I do.
It's not that I don't. It's just that sometimes my body doesn't enjoy it. So,
but
with that being said,
we've never been able to grow broccoli and cauliflower.
No,
ever.
We have not.
And even if we were capable of doing such, a broccoli and a cauliflower plant take up about the same amount of ground space as a tomato plant, give or take a few inches. You're getting one head of cabbage or one head of cauliflower, one head of broccoli in the same platform or same square footage as you would get 10 to 20 pounds of tomatoes. So, and you buy the, it used to be, and I don't know, $1.50, $2 at the farmer's market for a head of broccoli or cauliflower.
You know, it really depends on the day and the week and whatnot. But
cabbage, you would think, oh, cabbage would fall on this. Cabbage, you get a head of, you get a 4 or 5 pound head of cabbage, you can do a lot with that cabbage, and it goes a long way versus a head of broccoli or cauliflower.
Cabbage is dense.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, you can 10 or 20 pounds of tomatoes or one head of broccoli or cauliflower. That's what we're looking at here.
Now.
Yes.
Next one, strawberries. I would have to disagree, because when we had our strawberry patch,
right,
it was prolific for a few years.
We had in-ground, and strawberries in-ground typically last about 5 to 7 years. Ours peaked around the four-year mark, and we had, I think it was 138 square feet of strawberries, and it wasn't row, like you'd see at a pick-your-own farm. It wasn't a row this, row. It was just like yard. It was just strawberries.
It was chaos.
But they did
produce.
We were getting 15 and 20, 25 pounds a year off that patch. Now, if you don't have the space to establish a 150, 160, 200 square foot strawberry patch, then the investment of going to the pick your own farm is practical. The other thing that I have an issue with some people is growing them in containers. And whether you're doing the June bearing or the ever bearing, here is where my philosophy of this comes from. It's a waste of time, because you're babying these plants for 28 weeks grow season, and then they go dormant over the winter for approximately 2 to 3 weeks of strawberries. And if you don't have a very large container, you're basically getting a bowl, a cereal bowl full of strawberries over the course of fighting with these plants to keep them alive all year long for a bowl, cereal bowl, you know, dozen or so strawberries. Doesn't make sense. Leaf lettuce, green beans, something else in that container can be much more return on investment better than a couple of strawberry plants that you've got to keep alive all year long.
I don't disagree. And pick your own farms, they are a lot of fun to go to, and they
good prices and great quality product.
Yeah, they're good prices, great quality. And then even if you just want to run past the farm stand, that's fine too. So I shouldn't say I disagree, but I think that, you know, if you have never grown strawberries and you want to try it, I think you should go for it. So the next one is sweet corn, which sweet corn, growing your own sweet corn is fun. And if it provides you a nice harvest, it is delicious.
Takes a lot of nutrients.
Yeah, it takes a lot of nutrients. I remember we like bulked up our soil hardcore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was like, and I'm pulling numbers, but it wasn't too out of like MPK of like 25, 15, 18, something like that. And we took 2 years in order to get it to that point. And we had great sweet corn, but you can't grow sweet corn. And at some point last year, I think they were like 12.5 cents or 14 cents an ear at the peak. I can't grow it that cheap. Unless you have a field and you're on a homestead or that capability of growing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plants at a time, it would make sense. But for a typical backyard where you're maybe growing 20 plants peak, the real estate is what I'm looking at. Chickpeas, drying beans, again, a lot of plants in order to get a good quantity of harvest off of those. So those are some things in which we would ask you, does it make sense for you to grow it, or does it make sense for you to put a more prolific, more prospering plant in that place and find those items, the onions, the potatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, strawberries, sweet corn, chickpeas, drying beans, other places, farmer's market, pick your own farm, and focus on the other plants in which you know you can make a lot grow in a very small space throughout the summer months.
Absolutely.
Well, summer is getting closer. For many of us, we hope and can't wait for that day to come, as it is still chilly. But whether it comes next week, next month, or in 2 days, the grubs and beetles are already there waiting to share your yard with you.
That's absolutely correct. Spring is just around the corner, and there's all sorts of grubs and beetles that are, you know, laying their eggs in your turf. And, you know, you have to control them somehow.
Well, you can control them with Grub Gone. It can be applied to your turf, your garden, around ornamentals, controls grubs, and lessens the impacts of the beetles that they're going to have on your yard this summer. Easy to use and apply with a commercial spreader or irrigate right into the soil. Biologically, specifically created to target grubs and beetles and not harm beneficial insects such as ladybugs, butterflies, and bees.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's P-H-Y-L-L-O-M bioproducts.com. And if you use code GARDENTALK10, you will save 10% off your orders. And that's phylumbioproducts.com.
Hang around. When we come back, Lawrence Alberty will be with us. He is a soil expert and...
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.